Okay. We're on the top of page Shin Chaf Aleph in the Tanya, in the third line. Talking about why, what are the challenges? If it's so easy to feel this closeness to Hashem, what's the challenges? And we say that it's two things. It's sadness. Well, first of all, it comes from laziness and a heavy feeling, which comes from sadness and timtum alev and the closing of the heart, the dulling of the heart. So right now, the Tanya is going to explain the seriousness of sadness, where sadness comes from, and how we have to deal with sadness. And that's what today's topic is about. So he says in the commentary, Sibus ha'atzvus mischalkos b'chlolos l'shnaim. The reasons for sadness can be generally divided up into two groups. Chesar m'mila de alma, deficiencies of things in this world. The chesar m'mila de shmaim, deficiencies of things in the spiritual world. V'yaschal avar, echli potter m'atzvus m'mila de alma. It's going to begin by explaining how we can get rid of the sadness from things in this physical, mundane world. So the Tanya now continues. And the best advice we can give to purify the heart from any sadness or even a little smidgen of concern regarding things of this world, even areas that are very important to us, like children, our health, and our parnasa, which are things that are extremely important the most, right? How can we deal with that to remove that sadness? Mudas zos l'chol ma'amar razal. This is taught to us by the statements of the rabbis that say, Kishem shemavarech al hatova mavarech al ra. Just like you make a blessing for the good things, you make a blessing for the bad things. So Perish Gemara says, what do you mean? How can you do it the same way? Gemara explains, l'kabule b'simcha, to accept that news with joy. Just like the simcha that's revealed, that a person can see and is legitimately happy when something like that happens. When things are sad, you have to also accept them with a joy, and we'll have to explain what that means. Amar Chazal, the commentary explains, the Mishnah is like this, a person is obliged to thank, to bless for the bad like he blessed for the good. It doesn't mean to say you make the bracha for the good like the bad the same way. The blessings are different. For something that's good, you say hatova meitiv, the one who is good and bestows good. And for sad news, you say blessed is the true judge. It doesn't mean the same bracha. El kashem, so what does it mean in the same manner? You have to accept the bad with the same attribute of joy like you accept the good. Now we have to understand, how does that work? So Tanya continues, Kigam zu letova, because this too is for the best, for good. Raksha ena niglis, veneeris lembas. The only problem is our eyes don't see it. That's the only problem. Otherwise, it's no different. Hashem is behind all this. What Hashem does can only be good. We just don't see it.
We don't see it because it brings pain. Well, so the other, and the good things, you're happy, it's good. When the sad things happen, there's pain. So people are not built to accept pain. So I hope he explains it better than that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Hashem wants us to mourn.
Fine, but people don't accept pain.
First of all, who says that pain is bad?
But it hurts.
Who says that a feeling of hurt is bad?
Okay, right, but let's put it in practical terms. This wrist is fine, I can do anything. This one hurts.
So now you know you have a wrist.
I accept, I know, but I'm saying that hurts, so you cannot evoke the same feeling when you hurt as when you are happy.
But that's what we have to explore, is what message we're supposed to receive.
Okay, let's put it this way.
I know it comes from Hashem.
You remember long ago, Sam, remember you took your children when they were 4, 5, 6 years old to school?
Yes.
I don't know if it happened with you, but it happens with many parents.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The kids screaming and yelling, I don't want to go to school. I like your house. Why are you being so mean to me, to this big, scary place with this mean, scary teacher? And they're having pain? Yes?
That's not the same.
Oh, yes, it is.
For them, it is.
No,
okay. But it's so pain.
We have
that's
to define pain. This is physical pain.
No, it doesn't.
Then there is
emotional pain.
Emotional
when somebody dies, it's not physical pain. It's
emotional pain.
I'm just saying. So what's the emotional pain? It's only because of an improper perspective. You know what you're doing to the kid is the best thing for him. If he doesn't go to school, he's not going to make a living. His life's going to be terrible.
Absolutely.
Okay,
and you do it because you know pain or no pain, you're going to do it. And
why? Because you know it's going to be good.
No pain, no gain.
It's going to be good. Your parents would never do anything bad for you, at least in those days.
Sometimes it's harder to perceive the gain from pain.
So you don't, but it's not up to your perception. That's the point.
No, but we have to learn to do that. Otherwise you can't feel it.
We have to learn to do that.
Well, you have to know, if you have to go back to basics, who brought this pain to you?
Yes.
Was it a mere accident, or was it Hashem?
Right.
So Hashem is doing something to you. It can only be for your good. It cannot be for the bad.
We accept that.
And not only can it be, it can only be the best. It can only be the best.
We accept
that. So if it's the best, so now we have a Muna, that if it's the best thing that's happening, then I have to be happy with what I'm getting.
But isn't it useful to explore the benefit, to try and understand the benefits? So you can.
The benefit is to know that Hashem is doing it to you.
Right, but I'm saying
that's all. That's all. And you know Hashem is taking care of you. And if he's doing it, he knows it's good for you. Why it's good for you, you're not going to know right
away. It's just like a book in the Torah. Like you're supposed to see the hints of what the
meaning
is.
But you don't need to even know the hint. You know that Hashem is watching over you.
He
is running your life. I don't know why that's not good enough.
It is good enough, but it doesn't.
If your father says to you, calls you in, listen, you did a terrible thing, and I need to punish you, and I'm telling you why I'm punishing you, so you won't do that stupid thing.
But you know immediately what's going on.
You won't do that stupid thing again.
Well, that's
it. Or you'll appreciate, or whatever it is.
It's cause and effect. It's right? Immediate.
Oh, it doesn't matter. But you know your father is doing something that's good for you, right? We know Hashem is doing only good things for us. And yes, if we happen to not know what it is, it should not take away from the fact to know that Hashem is doing something good for you.
Absolutely.
And if you know he's doing something good for you, then that's all you need to know. And you know that, you know, that right now it's good even though we don't get it. And the shortcoming is when it says, we'll read on.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But you're not going to get much more than that.
We won't.
Well, you got
one more.
You watch too much news. You watch too much news.
The news
wants to get to the bottom of the facts and everything. And why was this? And why was this?
No, okay, that's another story.
But you gotta know that Hashem loves you. If Hashem loves you,
you know that.
It's okay. So you don't need more to know more. Why are you doubting him?
No.
So then, what else do you need to know? You need to know that this is
coping with it.
You're coping with it because you know it has to be good. You don't know what it is. Why do you need to know what it is in order for you to cope? Just know that it is good. That's good enough.
So why do
if it's a senseless,
why do we pray and sit in the Siddur for good health when we know you're sick?
You're only praying. All you're praying for is to
going against Hashem.
No,
Hashem, forget it. Give me good health. I don't need the punishment.
You're praying to only recognize. The only reason you're praying it is to recognize that Hashem is giving you good health. That's all. To remember that Hashem is giving it to you, and it's not a doctor, it's not anybody else. And Hashem, you are the one who heals me, and you're the only address I have. And if you want me not to be well, then I understand that you want me not to be well. But all health issues are relating to you. That's all.
But when we pray for a foo for a particular person,
yeah.
Okay, you're praying for it doesn't mean that it's coming.
So I pray then.
Because you have to show that you're a human being who cares about other people, and there is a formula.
But
and
if it's good for them to be sick.
It's good for them to be sick to a point where then it's good for us to pray and heal the person.
And right? When they get better, you remember.
It's good for a person to get sick. It's good for a person for us to ask for them to be healed. Why do we go get Parnas? It's all going through the motions of life. But Hashem is running it. Hashem wants them to be sick for a certain amount of time. I don't know how long he wants them to be sick. So we pray that the refuah should come. We should acknowledge that the refuah, when it comes from Hashem. That's all. And there's equations. Hashem says, listen, you know, it could be that, you know, maybe in this situation, I'm waiting for your prayer, and when your prayer comes, then I'm going to heal the person. And there's other situations, you know, where you're praying, and I'm not going to heal the person. That's all. And your prayers don't depend on if was it a successful prayer, if the person's going to get healed or not. It does not have to do with that at all. It's your recognition. Again, it's back to the main point is to recognize that Hashem is behind every single thing.
So maybe we should change the way the prayers are said. If you look at the way we're asking for is, please, refuah shalema. We should say, thank you, Hashem. I understand why I'm sick or why this person is sick.
Well, refuah sanefesh. First of all, the refuah sanefesh comes before the refuah saguf. We want to be a healing of the soul. Healing of the soul comes from us being able to do tshuva. Help us do tshuva. Don't let us get so stuck on the details. That's also part of it. It's all part of it. Listen, why do we have to go to work? Because you got to go through the motions. You're going through the motions. That's all. So it's just like going through the motions, and I hope that we're going to have the parnasa the way we should have it. And I hope we're going to have the health the way we should have it. But if you deem that the health should not come, I'm a cop of that as well. It's like you make the same effort to pray the person get healed, just like you go to work. It's the same effort. And sometimes you're successful, and sometimes you're not successful. What happens the day you made no money today? So Hashem felt the best thing for you is that you don't make any money today. Hashem felt the best thing for the sick person is not to get better.
Sometimes isn't what happens to you a consequence of your actions? The way
yes.
That's negative.
So then go do tshuva.
That may not be the best
thing. So then go do tshuva. Then go do tshuva.
Well, what I'm saying is
part of your davening is that you'll do tshuva. If you know that the healing is in Hashem's hand and the sickness is in Hashem's hand, so you have to wonder, why does Hashem make me sick? Well, I have to explore all possibilities. And the first one is, I'm probably sinning.
Right, so you can't just sit there and say, this is good for me, because it may actually not be good for you. It may be a consequence.
It's good for you that it's waking you up.
Yeah.
If you did an Aveira, it's good for you.
But it could
just like a fever is a good thing for a person who has a infection.
Right. Kills off the thing.
Because the fever is killing it off. So, that's a good thing, you're getting a fever. It doesn't feel good. Yeah, but it's making you better. This is making you better. All right. Anyway, let's see what the Tanya has to say. So even though things that appear to be bad, the commentary is for the good. Right? The only difference in good and bad, the only difference, it's only if the human flesh eyes can see it. That's all. The only difference is what the eyes are seeing. And that's that whole idea with the Nochem Ish Gamzu story and all these things. Let's turn the page. The Siba Sadavar, Shincha Beis. And why is this so? Why is it? Did I read those words? Yeah. So this is Latova, right? The last words of the Tanya before. Raksha Eina Niglis Veneris Lenabasar. It's also good, but we don't see it. That's the only problem, is we don't see it. And why don't we see it? Now he gets a little bit mystical here. Kihi me alma diskasya, because this is coming from the concealed world, shalomala above, which is above me alma disgalya, from the world that's revealed. This that's coming is coming from the concealed world, which is above the revealed world. Now he explains. Tovazu, this good, shinirsa, it looks bad. Now where is this good that looks bad coming from? Hinim shechas me alma diskasya. It is coming forth from the concealed world. Now, right, now we have to digress to explain our terms. Yesh tamalia des galia v'alma des kasya. There's the world that's revealed and the world that's concealed. Hadargas aruchanis anemuchus yoser. The lower spiritual levels are called nikros alma des galia, the revealed world. Kein begil, because they're revealed. Those are lower spiritual realities. They're so low, your eyes can even see them. But the higher spiritual levels, they're called Alma Diskasya, the hidden world. They're hidden. Because we know things that are loftier are more concealed. Let's give it a good example. The teacher is teaching intelligence to a student. Now, the teacher knows way more than the student knows. And if this teacher would start teaching him from the point of where the teacher knows, he'd blow the student away. So what does he do? What does the teacher do? He constrains the amount of intellect that he pours out depending on the level of the student of what he can absorb. Now the part that's constrained, that's the revealed part. The student, the part that gets to the student is what the student sees. But that's not what the teacher is capable of showing. The intellect of the Rav, so as it really is, it's hidden from the student. If the Rav would tell him the Seichel the way it really is by the Rav, the student wouldn't understand anything. He wouldn't understand anything. So therefore, he has to, you know, he has to say it in a very simple way. And the simple way, it's not detailing exactly everything that's going on over there. So it is with our topic as well. When the good is coming from the concealed world, physical eyes can't see them. When the good comes from a lower level, which is the Alma Disgalion, the world that's revealed, then the eyes of the human being is able to see this.
So that's answering Paul's question.
Let's take a look in footnote Ches. So Gam Shreimer B'Tfil, we say in the davening, Yotzer or Hubore Choshech. He created, he fashioned the light and created the darkness. Ola Bria Hulamal Mel Yetzirah. The world of Bria is higher than the world of Yetzirah. Okay. Now, Yotzer or, when you say the words Yotzer or, what are you supposed to do? Yamash Tzvon Sheh. You're supposed to touch the Tzvon Sheh Yad. Shomer Bore Choshech. Yamash Tzvon Sheh Rosh. You touch the Tzvon Sheh Rosh. Why? Hare Shabore Choshech. Hidargal Yonios. Creating the dark is a higher level. Yotzer, remember, you got the words Yotzer of the worlds, right? Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. So Atzilus, Bria is the second highest world. Yetzira is after that. So we have Yotzer or, light, which looks to be good, comes from a lower world. Bore Choshe, Bore is the higher world.
Darkness.
Is darkness. Right? Because we see the darkness, but it's coming from a higher place. That's when we say Yotzer or we touch the Shelra Yad, because that's our hand, that's a lower level of intellect is doing.
We can palpate.
The head is a higher level, and the tefillin is beyond the head. Not just in the head, but beyond the head.
It's above the head.
So Flamrosos, in spite of that, Nikras Choshe is called darkness. Because what do we see? We see darkness, right? Kihi on a sentence, that's the point. Machashu nalakol kach, since it's so high, so lofty, ainli rama sagabo, we can't comprehend it. Funel memlegab, it's totally hidden from us. Come on, barabim alamid, sechel talmid, amit samson, sechel v'erich talmid. Like the Rebbe who constrains what he knows when he gives over to the kid. Harei shekol, sechel mutsumza, this is a constrained sechel. You know, the gabe talmid or, so for the light, for the child, it's light. The amount the kid sees, that's light. I see, I understand, I see what you mean. Yeah, but he just told him a very little bit. So he says the real, what's going on? Look, some of it's not constrained. He has a etzah talmud choshech. Then it's going to be dark because he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get what's going on. He doesn't understand this. So therefore, things that are easy to understand, doesn't take a lot of brains, doesn't come from a very deep place. Things that come from deep places need a lot more sophistication. So when we try to go into that deep place, it gets very dark for us. We're not able to go that far. This is the point. Because, you know, things that are easy. So we are little children with little minds. No matter how old we are, we're still little children with little minds. Unless you're a great Kabbalist who can go into that hidden world. If you can go into the hidden world and see what's going on in the hidden world, then that's a different story. So it boils down to a very simple thing. We don't have enough faith in Hashem.
We don't have enough.
You don't need to know. If I need to know, then that means I don't have faith.
Yeah.
If I can prove,
we're learning to know.
If Hashem, no, you need to know that Hashem is in charge, and that's a big thing to know. To really know that is a big thing.
Okay.
That Hashem is doing every single thing in this world. That's a big thing to know.
Right.
Once you know that, then there's a question of trust. And the definition of trust is, I don't need to know why. Because if you need to know why, then there's no trust.
It's blind faith.
That's not blind. Blind faith means you're stupid, you're an idiot, there's no reason to trust. So somebody who buys something from someone who's a telemarketer is blind faith, is a stupid idiot. Because you don't know what's behind, what's going on over there.
Right.
If you know there is a God in this world. You don't need to explore anymore. You know that there's Hashem in this world. You know there is Hashem. If you know there's Hashem, to trust that He knows what He's doing is not blind faith anymore. If your parents love you, and your parents say, and you know they love you, because you know what they've done for you. And then your father says, you may not understand why I'm going to do this, but I got to smack you. He says, why are you smacking me? Because you ran the street. Well, what's wrong with running the street? You don't understand what's wrong with running the street. So I'm just telling you, I don't want you ever to do it again. I want you to know one thing.
At that point, probably you hate your parents. Not probably, for sure. You don't want
them. So then you don't trust them.
Well, no.
You don't trust them.
Right.
But then again, a four-year-old, I don't expect more. But a 40-year-old, I'd expect more. I'd expect more that he says, you know what? I'm smart enough to know that I don't know everything. I don't know everything. But this blind faith means I have no reason. I have no reason to trust. Faith means I have reason to trust, and I trust even though I don't understand. I don't understand the details. But you don't need to know the details. God knows the details. And we assume he doesn't mess up on the details. He didn't forget you. Oh, you know, you forgot the mitzvahs I did. And therefore, you know, I got something coming to me. And you forgot, you know, just like you have to call the shul, you know, you forgot my yortzeit. Okay, maybe we're human. We do forget. We do forget. You know what? But Hashem doesn't forget nothing. So it's not possible to say he doesn't know what he's doing. If you believe
nobody
that
says that, Rabbi.
Well, yes, we are.
No,
because if we're saying I'm sad and I'm upset, it means I don't agree with what you're doing. You did the wrong thing.
I don't agree. I don't understand.
Why do you need to understand?
How am I going to learn from it?
Well, you don't need to learn from it.
You have to learn.
You know what? You learn one thing: that a father who disciplines you loves you. That's not why people are upset. They're not upset because, what am I supposed to learn from it? You're upset because I wanted this and I don't have it. And that's why you're upset. And let's not fool ourselves.
But next time
I had this convenience in life and I don't have it. And I'm downright upset about it. Because now my life is more difficult. I don't want my life to be difficult. It's not because I don't understand why.
Even if
it explains why, you still don't want it. Okay, I'll tell you why. You're going to get less Gehenna. Okay, is that enough? No, it's not enough. Because I don't want to be inconvenienced now. I don't care about later on. That's the way life is. That's the way life is. We're little babies. Little babies. I want what I want now. And I can't have it now, I'm upset. Unless you give me the most amazing reason that it's worth it for me, then I don't trust you. I don't trust that you... Okay.
So
why you gave? You know, that's already a mature thing to want to get into.
Yeah,
but
so
that shouldn't take away from your simcha of knowing that Hashem is taking very good care of you and is making sure.
But can we explore and find out why and how?
But even if you don't, even if you can't, even if you're not able, you should be totally happy knowing that your father who cares about you is watching every step and is doing the best that he can to make sure that everything turns out good for you. In the best way possible. And the whole problem is us. We don't trust them. That's all. We don't trust them.
We don't know.
And that, no, it's not we don't know. We don't trust. You don't need to know. You know, if a child, you know, imagine. The parent goes to the child and says, here's a lovely candy. And the child says, I wonder, where did you get the candy from? How much did it cost? How much is it going to take away from my Yerusha years from now? And until I know this, I won't enjoy the candy. Narishka. You know what? You know that he would only do something good for you. Right? So if the parent now disciplines you, he's disciplining. It is the same.
It's very similar.
When you get all these good things, I don't know why you don't have to say, I want to know why Hashem is making me so healthy. For all the averis I've been doing, I don't accept this. There's so many things he wants me to do on a daily basis. I don't do it. I don't do it on a daily basis. And nobody's upset. They don't know why they got all those good things happening to them.
This is another thing, Rabbi.
But it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you. You don't know why you're getting all these good things. Why does it bother you?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to enjoy it if I don't know why I deserve it. Oh, that all of a sudden, it doesn't make any difference why you get it. Why does it make a difference? I want to know why it's so good for me.
No.
I want to know why.
No.
That I'm 70 years old and I have my good health and I don't trip over things and I'm not in the hospital and I'm not some wife and I know I do all these averos. Why is it so? It's bothering. How can I enjoy this if I don't even know if I deserve it? I don't understand why it's so good for me. Now that nobody ever comes to the rabbi and says, you know, I'm broken. I don't know why he's so good to me. I need a tikkun.
But sometimes you're worried that you're getting paid in this life.
I'm just saying. But you know what? Everyone's just happy, smiling away. And you know, and it's not. And you know what? And the problem is, you're not happy for the right reason either.
Oh.
You're not happy because, look, I'm so happy. I see how much Hashem has taken care of me.
Right.
You're happy just because I have my needs taken care of. I couldn't give a damn about Hashem.
That's
the truth. You're happy, and you know. And by the way, thanks, Hashem. Even though I don't understand why you do it for me, all of a sudden you can give lots of thanks. The same God who does something bad for you, all of a sudden, oh, I don't understand why he did that. Now I'm upset. You got not be consistent.
And I won't be happy till I have a reason.
I won't be happy to have a reason to be happy. You know, I married off my daughter. I had money to pay for it. I have a place to retire. I have this. I will not enjoy this because I don't understand exactly why it is this way. Never, never. Unless you have people who are unhealthy people. You know. Because they're unhealthy in general, not unhealthy spiritually.
Oh, okay.
But so now all of a sudden, now when it's bad, that changes. The answer is your whole relationship with God is missing. You know, the problem is we don't even know how to bless God for the good. Forget about blessing Him for the bad. We don't know how to bless Him for the good. When you bless Hashem for the good, you understand what you really mean. Do you really understand what blessing Hashem for the good? You're saying, Hashem, you did everything. I did absolutely nothing. I did nothing. And really, really, when you make that bracha, you should be so ashamed of yourself. That Hashem did everything, I did nothing.
Could you have done something? Or is it...
What do you mean? What I did is nothing. All I did was go through the motions.
You can't be ashamed if there's nothing you could
do. I just went through the motions. I'm just saying, so you know what? You know, he loves me. And I'm happy that he loves me. He's taken good care of me.
And I would not want
anything else other than that. And I'm so happy to know he's taken care of me.
Hashem is telling us to do things. He doesn't say, don't do nothing because you should
you're blessed. You did this business deal. You made $5 million. Do you really understand what you're blessing Hashem for?
I'm talking spiritually.
You know, I don't know. Well, it's everything. You make brachas on everything. You make brachas. If something good happens to you in this world, you make money. You make a bracha on that if you make a lot of money.
So that's what we're supposed to do then.
Okay, you have a child, you make a bracha. Why?
Okay.
But I can't do it because I don't understand why I got all this.
No.
What's the difference? The same way you got the child is, God forbid, the same way you chasam lose the child. You have to understand, you know, those three boys that were killed,
yeah.
You have to know, Hashem killed them. You got to understand, Hashem killed them.
Okay, I understand.
Now,
that.
Hashem used evil people to be his tools. To be his tools, there's no question about it.
Right.
And those people will be judged for this in God's way.
So there
you
shouldn't
gotta
be any reaction to this whatsoever.
There has to be. There's plenty of reaction, but you can't be... You have to accept it.
Nobody's
Hashem knows what he's doing.
I don't know. I'm sure there are people.
Hashem
who
knows what he's
years,
doing.
Prayed,
has
and
nothing.
It didn't turn out
well, because they're immature. They don't know what they're talking about. And it's not even... They're little babies. And you can't explain things to babies. That's all. You can't explain...
There's plenty of people angry with God.
Well, you know what? Then don't pray to him. Then you know what? It's not that we're praying to God. They're praying to an ATM machine. They weren't praying to God. To God, they would get a different feeling. They weren't praying to God.
They thought,
this is a little magical thing. We'll just do this and everything is going to be fine.
Well,
so they were taught improperly. They were taught improperly. That's why a lot of these email prayer things are not healthy.
They're useless.
They're not useless. They're a disservice.
Because
now people expect that all of a sudden it's going to be good because now they start to pray. It's not. The only thing that God has made to realize, maybe God's in charge.
It's PayPal.
That's what they have to say. They say you should pray to know that God is service. Running the world, and He is deciding what's going to happen to these boys. And we have to, we've got to have a relationship more with Hashem than with everything, anything else over there.
This is maybe their way to try to reconnect. Who knows?
We can't that's nothing to do with reconnect. It's called desperate.
Well,
desperate people, desperate things.
Connection.
So I'm just saying, but you got to realize, and this ultimately is good. Why it is good? It's not our business to know. It's not our business to know. Now we have a system where we only accept things if they go right for us. So there's a hidden world. These three boys, who knows what neshamas they were carrying beforehand? Who knows what kind of tikkun they needed? And they were just, and they were literally needed this tikkun to be able to final everything they need to finally be sitting in Gan Eden with rest and all things, and to die al Kiddush Hashem. They were missing that. Maybe in a previous lifetime they did not do a Kiddush, they did a Chilul Hashem, and they needed to be repaired and all that. And maybe in a previous lifetime they never davened, and now millions of people davened. It was a tikkun for them not davening. Who knows? We don't know.
But people are allowed to cry.
You can cry out of happiness too. Remember, the definition of simcha is not jumping up and down for joy. That's not what simcha means. Simcha means you know that everything is the way it's supposed to be. That's simcha. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. Now, as a human being, you love people, and if people leave, you cry for them.
Right.
That crying is a healthy emotion that shows that person was valuable.
But
you understand, and Hashem knows absolutely what He's doing, and we have total confidence, and that's the simcha. He did the right judgment. It wasn't a mistaken call. He picked the wrong victim. You know, in Canada, they could put a guy in jail for 30 years and find out with DNA. Oh, sorry. Oops. Sorry. Wrong guy. That's it. So, you know, with Hashem, we never say, sorry, wrong guy. Too bad. You know, if they weren't hitchhiking, they wouldn't have died. An Irish guy. Would have died anyway. Would have died anyway. So it doesn't matter. Okay, we'll have to stop here. I see there's going to be a lot of contention as we go through this.